Yeah. It's time for our next segment on the Drew Marshall Show. It's Terrorism Update with the Bomb, Mubin Sheik, or as he's likes to be called, Mubin Sheik. You see the difference there? You see? There it is. He is an ex-Muslim extremist turned undercover intelligence operative, author of Undercover Jihadi. So you want to join us as the Bomb gives us the truth about the latest acts of terrorism in this crazy world of ours. Live, on the phone. All the way from an undisclosed location, somewhere in a bunker, somewhere. Mubin Sheik. Mubin, what's going on, man? How are you?
Pretty good, pretty good. Just cooking up a batch of the bunker beans.
Bunker beans?
not to be enjoyed in closed space.
No, I was just going to say, that's the worst space to have beans. Well, last time you were on our show, we got into quite an in-depth in-studio explanation of all sorts of things, like the difference between Sunnis and the other ones. Shiite Muslims. And the whole the trouble. Like, you gave us a big lesson, man. We got all smartened up on the show.
I was going to say, I mean, it's kind of awkward to pronounce it like, what are they, Shiites?
Yeah.
If you see it written S-H-I-I-T-E, so it's like shite.
Yeah, I know. It's just for all of our Irish listeners right now from Belfast, your terrorists ain't got nothing on these guys. That's what I'm saying, okay? So, listen, I just had a conversation today with somebody who said, you know, I saw a video of some street preacher dude confronting a Muslim part of the crowd, and there was a confrontation, and I haven't seen the video, so I can't really relay it to you as well as I could if I saw it. But the gist of it was the Muslim person was, you know, used to be a refugee, and now they're living here, and he's basically saying, he's defending, you know, once a young girl has had their first period, they're open, you can have sex with them. And then he says, and by the way, you know, if you were in my country, I could kill you, too, for being, you know, proselytizing Christianity like this. And so, of course, now people are saying, oh, my goodness, well, now all the Syrian refugees are going to be like this.
Right.
There's all sorts of, you know, anti-Syrian refugee propaganda out there. So I want to know from you, Mubin, you know, what is it that we can believe? What is it that we can actually trust? Should we be worried about thousands of refugees coming to our country? Because apparently France, you know, they're feeling like they're losing their culture over there, apparently. What say you?
Yeah, well, I mean, first of all, you know, we have to avoid the extreme. I mean, it shouldn't be that, you know, every single refugee that's going to come is going to be great, to integrate perfectly because we're such great people.
Yeah.
On the other hand, you know, they're not all terrorists. They're not all, you know, looking to do this, that, and the other. So the majority of them fall somewhere in between where they will be for, you know, the overwhelming majority will be upstanding citizens. But, you know, there is always that risk. I mean, I was, you know, discussing this with ISIS guys online all of 2013, all of 2014, where they said they would be using the migrant flows to bring in their people. In fact, it's not just them. It's also Assad regime members, Hezbollah, Iraqi militia members who have been involved in you know, war crimes and crimes against women in particular, to the point where some are suggesting, look, these guys can go commit these kinds of attacks to blame the Syrian refugees, like, you know, the Paris attacks. I mean, none of those guys were Syrians, but why did one of them leave a Syrian passport, right? It was to sabotage the refugees leaving, because the refugees leaving their territories make them look bad. So it's, I mean, there's a whole host of people that, rightfully so, Europeans are concerned that are we losing our identity completely.
So what is the update from Mubin Sheik in regards to the Syrian refugee scenario here in Canada and around the world? What are you picking up on these days, Mubin?
Yeah, Canada, you know, I mean, we're not dealing with people literally landing on our shores in boats, right? We're picking people up who are already living in refugee camps, like places like Jordan, where, you know, there's heavy vetting, security and intelligence vetting. So we're not dealing with, you know, the worst case scenarios. Europe, however, a completely different story. These are like, this is exactly what, you know, the narrative of right-wing groups has been, is that the foreign invader, you know, coming in, changing our culture. And I can imagine in the Muslim world, imagine if, like, white Europeans with their crazy cultural habits went over en masse into Muslim lands. How would the Muslims treat them? So The only update really is we in Canada are not dealing with that worst case scenario, but the rest of the world, they're going to have an even bigger problem, because as more refugees move towards Europe, I mean, you're just going to keep seeing this over and over. So.
Right. Okay, Tim, you're busting.
Yeah, just with regards to, I know when Western people go over to, Muslim countries like Saudi Arabia specifically, there are enclaves set aside for them. Is that a way to solve the problem? Or is that just like, you know, this whole pogrom Jewish, you know, thing, Holocaust, pre-Holocaust idea of separation?
Wait, are you saying when the Muslims come here, we should put them in the ghetto?
No, not put them in the ghetto, but have enclaves for them, special places for them to
which turn into
be
ghettos?
Muslim. Not necessarily.
Well, so here's the thing. This is a fair point, because we assume that, you know, the way that those countries behave in their lands, you know, can we replicate what they're doing? And in a way, and the problem is we should never base our values on what those people are doing, because their values suck. I mean, in Saudi Arabia, non-Muslims have to live in a compound where, because they're under threat. I mean, from other Muslims, right, who will kill them because, you know, they're infidels and they're invaders and they shouldn't even be here. Now, we shouldn't reciprocate. I mean, I know some people in the political establishment in the U.S. are talking like that, but
as soon as we start
doing what they're doing, we lose. I mean, once we give up our values, we lose.
Yeah.
So
okay.
I think what we need to do here is integration, better integration programs, because it's one thing to bring a whole bunch of people over. It's quite another thing to, like, prep them for life in this society, because they're coming from refugee camps, PTSD, probably seen death and destruction. It's going to take a long-term investment.
Wait, why you answered this before, because I've asked it before, and I remember you answering it before, but I don't remember your answer. So here's the question again. Why didn't we just put money into helping them go to other countries that are closer to their country, so that they could be more, they could be in areas that are more similar to what they were instead of bringing them to minus 40 degree weather here today?
Yeah, well, I was in Edmonton, actually, where a number of refugees will be staying, and I thought to myself, my God, like Edmonton?
Yeah.
Coming from, like, Syria to Edmonton? Yeah, it's
I mean, they don't even have a winning hockey team right now.
Well, Syria doesn't have a winning hockey team?
They did.
So why didn't we do that? Is it all about, well, let's bring them over here and turn them into more of us, because that'll ultimately be better for them?
Well, we're putting out this message, right, that the West is this great place where, you know, you can do this and, you know, you can make something of yourself. And the thing is that Turkey has already taken, like, 2 million refugees, Lebanon almost 2 million. Yeah, Jordan.
But why hasn't Saudi kicked in, man?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the problem. I mean, Saudi is looking at this also as a security issue. They don't want anyone coming in.
Because they're the wrong kind of Muslims?
That's right. The threat that, you know, these potential that could be ISIS posed to Saudi Arabia is very great. I mean, Saudi Arabia is seen as an apostate rulership because they are in bed with the West. So they do face those threats. So they're ironically doing the same thing like countries like Hungary, Czech Republic, Poland even, which is like, you know what, don't even come here. Like, stop. Don't even think about it.
So is Saudi going to actually join in the fight against ISIS?
Well, I mean, we'll see about that. So there's been recent discussion about Turkey and Saudi Arabia involved in some ground element against ISIS, of course, in Syria. But remember, Russia said the same thing. Russia said, we're going in against ISIS, and they didn't do that. ISIS is doing actually just fine under Russia. It's everyone else that's being bombed. It's the opposition. So we'll see. We know that the Turks have been going after the Kurds under the claim of we're going after terrorists, and in some segments it's true. I mean, you have groups, Kurdish groups, that are allied with Russia, anti-NATO country, and involved in operations in Turkey. So Turkey's probably going to use that as an example, as an excuse to hit more Kurds. We'll see. This could very quickly move on to become an anti-ISIS asset war.
Wow. Okay. So, what is Russia doing in Syria right now? What are they doing there these days?
So, a few months ago, they went in to say, "Look, we're going to support the Assad regime and fight the terrorists." the reality on the ground is that the Russians have two big bases on the west coast of Syria. One's the naval port in Tartus, which is their entry point into the Mediterranean. We saw what they did with Crimea when their naval assets there were under threat. They invaded Ukraine. So here we are again, you know, points into Mediterranean, big money, big trade, good for military projection. So they're not going to let that go. So they've come in, they're bombing the opposition. But also think about this. The refugee flows is designed, I believe, to deliberately destabilize NATO and European countries, not only by the sheer magnitude of people coming over, but it's destroying society from within. So now you have these anti-Islamic rallies that are taking place in Germany and other European countries. But lo and behold, many, many Russian flags being flown. So is Russia also using these anti-Islamic groups to then, you know, force security agencies to chase either ISIS kids or Nazi kids? And their eyes are now off of Russian operatives in NATO and European countries.
Okay, and just finally, Mubin, and we're on the phone with Mubin Sheikh. Of course, he is ex-Muslim extremist turned undercover intelligence operative and the author of Undercover Jihadi. Mubin,
did you tell him I cooked a mean scrambled egg?
What? Oh, what?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's an operative and he's this and, oh, yeah, by the way.
He cooks some mean scrambled eggs.
And he likes to spice it up with pepper spray.
Yes. So where should we be worried about Iran? Because my whole life, through different various media reports, I'm scared of Iran. Should I be scared of Iran?
Of course. I mean, no. look, reality is Iran is a big player. They've always been big players. They're the Persians, remember. I mean, the Persians and the Romans and the Greeks, they go back a long, long time. So, look, they are their own people, and they have a strong tradition throughout history. Even now, they're major players in the region. Their militaries are very disciplined, and really the problem is of the Shia and the Sunni divide in mainstream Islam. Yeah. The Iranians representing the Shia, the Saudis and Turks representing mainstream Sunnis. Now what you have basically is a majority Sunni country, Syria, which is effectively being occupied by Shia, Iranian troops, Iranian militias, Iraq, who is also Shia, with their militias there. So plus the U.S. and, you know, the West have their operations in Iraq. Mm. So they're trying to stave off Iranian influence in Iraq, blunt Iranian influence in Syria. But, you know, now that sanctions have been released, they're now able to make money again, trading again, and this is actually one of the reasons why oil prices is so low, because the Saudis are going to keep that price low to prevent Russia and Iran from making as much money as they normally could have. So, keep it up, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah,
I
mean, yeah.
The 80 cents.
Up in our neck of the woods, it's 80.7. That's pretty good.
Yeah, but it kills our dollar, too, because our economy's...
I don't care. I don't want to talk about that anymore. I've got enough problems with gas.
Ladies
and gentlemen, that was our terrorism update with the bomb, Mubin Sheikh, and I'm not going to say anything more about him. All you need to know is he makes a mean scrambled egg. Scrambled egg. Dude, thank you very, very much for the quick update, and I look forward to us speaking again soon, young man.
Roger that, sir. Godspeed and God bless.
Thanks, dude. Take care, man. Mubin Sheikh on the Drew Marshall Show. Why are you going out with this song?
Because you wanted Valentine songs all.
You started the segment with Bomb Iran.
Well, technically, I just came in the segment. Like, we started the whole segment with silly love songs.
In love. A little louder, please.
Oh, sorry.
And Drew. See, I fit into Valentine's Day quite nicely. Stay with us.
Pardon that to be.